Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're traveling back in time to explore a collection of Jewish texts known as the Apocrypha.
The Apocrypha?
Yeah, think of it like, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right.
Well, the Apocrypha kind of fills in some of the gaps between those two eras.
Interesting.
We'll be looking at excerpts from a lecture by Dr. David DeSilva, focusing on 4 Maccabees, the Prayer of Manasseh, Psalm 151,
okay,
and a few others.
That was good.
These texts offer a fascinating glimpse into a really dynamic period of Jewish history, the Second Temple period.
Yes.
When Jewish identity and beliefs were being shaped by all sorts of internal and external pressures.
Exactly. You have to remember that this was a time of intense cultural exchange.
Yeah.
Especially with the Greeks.
Of course.
So these texts show how Jewish thinkers grappled with these influences.
Right.
Sometimes embracing them, sometimes resisting them.
Okay, let's dive into our first text, 4 Maccabees.
4 Maccabees.
Now, this one isn't about battles and wars like the other books of Maccabees. It's more like a philosophy lecture.
Okay.
But way more engaging than you might think.
Right. And what's really cool about 4 Maccabees is how it blends Jewish teachings with Greek philosophical ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like the author is saying, hey, you know those Stoic philosophers you're interested in?
Yeah.
Well, their ideas about reason and self-control, we've got those too, but with a Torah twist.
That's a great way to put it. And the author doesn't just talk about abstract concepts.
Right.
He uses examples from Greek dramas and even athletic competitions to make his point about mastering your passions.
Oh, interesting.
It's like he's saying, look, even your favorite Greek heroes and athletes know the importance of discipline.
Yeah.
We can learn from them, too.
And, you know, that blend of cultures makes sense.
Right.
Remember, Alexander the Great had conquered this region a few centuries earlier.
Yes.
And Greek culture was everywhere.
Yeah. It would have been hard to avoid. Absolutely. But things get even more intense when the author introduces the stories of the Maccabean martyrs.
Oh, wow.
These were people who chose to die rather than betray their faith.
Really?
Talk about ultimate self-control.
And this is where 4 Maccabees gets really thought-provoking.
Okay.
The author introduces this idea of vicarious atonement.
Vicarious atonement?
Yeah, the idea that the suffering of these martyrs could actually purify the sins of the nation.
Whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
So you're saying that their deaths could somehow make up for the wrongs of others?
That's what the author is suggesting.
Isn't that a pretty radical concept?
Definitely. And you can see how it might have been controversial.
Yeah.
But it shows you just how deeply people were wrestling with the meaning of suffering.
Right.
And sacrifice during this period.
Of course.
And, you know, this idea of vicarious atonement has echoes in later Christian theology as well.
That's a great point. It's almost like we're seeing the seeds of some really big theological ideas being planted right here.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, moving on from martyrdom to repentance.
Right.
Our next text is the Prayer of Manasseh.
The Prayer of Manasseh.
Now, if you've read the Bible, you probably remember King Manasseh as one of the worst kings of Judah.
Oh, yeah.
Notorious for idolatry and all sorts of wickedness.
He had quite the reputation.
Yeah, he was not exactly Mr. Popularity. But the interesting thing is that the Book of Chronicles hints at his repentance later in life.
Really?
And the Prayer of Manasseh really expands on that idea.
Oh, interesting.
It's a powerful expression of remorse.
Okay.
And a plea for God's mercy.
I see.
It's amazing how this prayer captures the raw emotion of someone who knows they've messed up big time.
Yeah.
There's one line that really struck me.
Oh, yeah.
Where Manasseh says, "For I have bowed down to a multitude of strange gods whom my fathers knew not, and I have led Judah astray."
Wow.
It just oozes with regret, doesn't it?
It really does. And it speaks to that universal human need for forgiveness and redemption.
Right.
It's like Manasseh saying, look, I know I've done terrible things.
Right.
But is there any way back from this?
Yeah.
And that question, I think, is something we can all relate to on some level.
Absolutely. And this isn't just some ancient prayer gathering dust on a shelf.
Right.
The Prayer of Manasseh has actually been used in Christian worship for centuries.
Wow.
Which shows just how deeply it resonates with people across time and traditions.
Really? That's amazing.
It's a testament to the enduring power of these texts.
Absolutely. Now, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about a text that celebrates a different kind of struggle.
All right.
Psalm 151.
Psalm 151.
This one isn't included in the traditional 150 songs.
Oh, really?
Which is probably why it's a hidden gem for many.
I see.
It focuses on two key moments in David's life.
Okay.
Being chosen by God as a young shepherd boy.
Right.
And then, of course, his triumph over the giant Goliath.
It's like the ultimate underdog story, right?
It really is.
And that resonates so much with the historical context of the Second Temple period.
Oh, yeah. Remember, this is a time when the Jewish people were often living under the thumb of larger, more powerful empires.
Right.
So a story about a small guy taking down a giant.
Yeah.
That would have been really encouraging.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that God can work through anyone,
mm-hmm.
even the seemingly insignificant.
Right.
And there's this line in Psalm 151
yeah.
where David says, I was the least among my brothers, the youngest in my father's house. I tended my father's sheep.
Hmm.
It's like he's emphasizing his humble beginnings
right.
to show that God's choice was truly unexpected and extraordinary.
It's like a message of hope wrapped up in a really relatable story.
Absolutely.
You can almost imagine people in that time feeling like, hey, if God can choose David, a simple shepherd, to do great things,
yeah.
maybe he can do something amazing through us too, even in the midst of all this turmoil.
You're right. It's a powerful message of resilience and faith.
You know, speaking of resilience and faith, that brings us to our next text, which is actually a set of additions to the book of Daniel.
Okay. You probably know the story of Daniel and his three friends, right?
So.
The ones who refuse to bow down to a giant statue and get thrown into a fiery furnace for their defiance.
Yes. One of the most dramatic scenes in the Bible.
And these additions, the prayer of Azariah and the song of the three young men.
Okay.
Really amp up the drama even more.
Oh, wow. So set the scene for us.
Okay, so these guys are literally facing death by fire.
Oh, gosh.
What goes through their minds?
Well, the prayer of Azariah,
yeah,
which is attributed to one of Daniel's friends, is this incredibly moving confession of sins.
Right.
And plea for God's deliverance.
It's like he's saying, okay, we might have messed up in the past.
Yeah.
But please, God, don't give up on us now.
That's so human, isn't it?
Even in the face of death, there's this urge to set things right with God.
Absolutely. And the song of the three young men
yeah.
is even more powerful. It's this hymn of praise to God.
Okay.
Thanking him for his creation and his faithfulness. It's almost like they're saying, even if we die here,
yeah,
we're going to go out praising God.
Wow. That sends chills down my spine.
It's really quite something.
Talk about unwavering faith. But, you know, these additions to Daniel aren't just about personal piety.
Right.
They also seem to connect to the larger historical context, right?
You're exactly right.
Okay.
Scholars believe that these texts were probably written during the time of the Maccabean Revolt.
Uh-huh.
When Jews were facing intense persecution for their beliefs.
Of course.
So the story of Daniel and his friends would have resonated really deeply.
Right.
With people who were going through similar trials.
It's like these stories are saying, hey, look, if our ancestors could endure fiery furnaces
right.
and come out unscathed,
yeah.
we can face our own challenges with the same kind of faith.
Precisely. And the theme of refusing to compromise your beliefs, even when faced with death,
yes.
would have been incredibly powerful for people living under oppressive regimes.
Okay, so we've covered four Maccabees, the Prayer of Manasseh, Psalm 151,
right.
and the additions to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Each of these texts gives us such a unique window into the world of Second Temple Judaism.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
What do you think are some of the key takeaways for our listener?
Well, I think one of the most important things to remember is that the Apocrypha shows us how dynamic
yeah.
and diverse Judaism was during this period.
Right.
These texts reflect a wide range of beliefs.
Of course.
And practices as Jewish thinkers grappled with Hellenistic influence
mm-hmm.
and political upheaval.
It wasn't just a monolithic religion. There was a lot of debate.
Exactly. And you see these debates reflected in the texts themselves.
Right.
For example, mm-hmm. the concept of vicarious atonement in 4 Maccabees
yeah.
sparked theological discussions
yeah.
that continued for centuries.
And it's fascinating how these texts also shed light on how people understood their relationship with God.
Oh, absolutely.
We see themes of repentance, forgiveness,
yeah.
and the power of prayer, but we also see questions about suffering and the nature of God's justice.
You're right. These texts weren't afraid to tackle tough questions.
Right.
And that's what makes them so relevant even today.
Yeah.
They remind us that faith isn't about having all the answers.
Right.
It's about wrestling with the big questions
uh-huh.
and seeking understanding, even in the midst of uncertainty.
And speaking of relevance, let's talk about the Apocrypha's legacy.
Okay.
These texts may not be part of the official canon for all Jewish and Christian groups.
Right.
But their influence is undeniable.
Absolutely. Think about the prayer of Manasseh being used in Christian liturgy for centuries.
Wow.
Or the way ideas from the apocryphal,
yeah,
like angels in the afterlife, mm-hmm, have shaped popular imagination.
Yeah.
And even influenced art and literature.
It's amazing to think that these writings from such a distant time can still have such a profound impact on us today.
I know. It's really incredible.
They offer timeless wisdom, moral guidance, and a window into the human search for meaning that transcends cultures and generations. It really makes you realize that even though these texts were written centuries ago, they still speak to some of our deepest human needs.
Oh, absolutely.
And longings.
Yeah.
They grapple with questions about faith, identity,
right,
and the meaning of life that we still ponder today.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of exploring ancient texts like these.
Yeah.
They invite us to engage with timeless questions.
Right.
And to consider how they might inform our own lives and beliefs.
So for our listener who's been on this journey with us, what's the one thing you'd want them to walk away with? What's the big aha moment you hope they've experienced?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that the Apocryphal challenges us to broaden our understanding of what it meant to be Jewish.
Yeah.
During this pivotal period.
Okay.
These texts remind us that there wasn't just one way to be Jewish.
Right.
Just like there isn't just one way to practice any faith today.
Of course.
There was diversity of thought, a wrestling with tough questions,
yeah,
and a willingness to adapt and evolve in the face of changing circumstances.
That's such an important point.
It is.
It's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking about history in these oversimplified black and white terms.
Right.
But the Apocrypha shows us the shades of gray,
yeah,
the nuances, the debates that were happening within Judaism during this time.
Exactly. And I think that's a valuable lesson for us today as well.
Right.
It encourages us to approach our own faith traditions with a more open mind,
mm-hmm,
to be willing to question and to learn from those who hold different perspectives.
It's a reminder that faith is a journey,
yeah,
not a destination.
Absolutely.
And it's a journey that's often enriched by engaging with diverse voices and ideas.
Right.
Speaking of journeys, for our listener who might be feeling inspired to explore the Apocrypha further,
yeah,
where would you suggest they start?
Well, there are some excellent translations and commentaries available online.
Right.
And in libraries.
Of course.
One tip I would give is to start with a text that piques your interest.
Okay.
Maybe you're drawn to the philosophical arguments of 4 Maccabees,
yeah,
or the heartfelt prayers in the Prayer of Manasseh.
Right.
Don't be afraid to jump in and see what resonates with you.
That's great advice. And remember, folks, this deep dive has only scratched the surface.
Right.
There's a whole world waiting to be discovered in these ancient texts.
Absolutely.
So keep exploring, keep questioning,
yeah,
and keep those minds engaged.
Absolutely. The Apocrypha offers a fascinating glimpse into a pivotal period of Jewish history.
It does.
And provides valuable insights into the development of both Judaism and Christianity.
It's been a truly enlightening journey exploring these often overlooked texts.
It has.
We hope you've enjoyed the dive as much as we have.
And remember, the journey of discovery is an endless one.
Until next time, keep those minds curious.
Yes.
And those hearts open to the wonders of knowledge.